Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I'm filling in this morning. Pastor Terry took the week off. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. But he will be back. They will be back tomorrow, so he asked me to preach this morning. And he called me, texted me last night, you know, and he said, what's the title of your message? And I hate to do that because it seems like whenever I do that, God always do something different. So I was a little hesitant about telling him. He said, what's the title of it? And I said, I think I'm a minister on God's provision. And now I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit just messes with you sometimes. But I do have a word for the church here. And when I say church, I'm not just saying specifically Father's Vineyard, okay? I mean, you know, the church is the body of Christ, you know. And I believe that God will give a specific word for church. But most of the time, I mean, you know, it's for the corporate body, okay? And I just want to encourage you, don't let... I keep hearing this in my spirit. I shared a little bit on Wednesday night with the group Wednesday night in Bible study. But God has me in a place to where that I believe what he's doing to me is making himself more realer to me, if that makes sense. And I want to share with the body of Christ is we can't allow the culture. You hear me? We can't allow the culture dictate to us how church should be. Amen. Because what God is doing, he has been working on his body through generations and generations and generations. And whether we realize it or not, each generation God would raise up a specific truth or a specific person, you know, and sometimes we build monuments around those things and God have to do something different to get our attention back on him. And I believe what the culture is trying to do, what the culture is really doing, is trying to tell us, to dictate to us how church should be. But the only way that we can know how church is supposed to be is get in the Word of God and hear what God is saying. See, there are many voices in the land, but there is only one true voice, and that's the Holy Spirit that God is using to transform his church into the likeness of Christ. But in many situations today, the pressure has been on, but how many know it has intensed? The battle has intense. It's been we are in a spiritual battle. We always have been. You know, I think the church thought, well, we get saved and, you know, everything is hunky-dory the rest of the way. But remember, Paul said in Rome in Ephesians 6, I think it's verse 12, you know, he said, brethren, you know, he began to talk to us. Okay, let me just turn there because I don't want to misquote this scripture. I left my glasses down there. Can you reach those to me? Somebody help me. Thank you, sir. This is my son here, y'all. Thank you. Okay. Let's look at Ephesians 12 for just a second. Pastor Terry shared a little bit on last week about, you know, the witchcraft spirit and the things that are going on. I'm not trying to trail that, but this right here is what I want you to hear here. He says, for I struggle. Listen to what he says, verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power and the strength of his might. Now, notice what he said, finally. Now, when you read the book of Ephesians, what you see in the first chapter, Paul is telling the church about their position in Christ. In the first chapter of Ephesians, you see a lot and you hear a lot in Christ. In Christ. Christ in us. In other words, Paul is establishing the position. Chapter 2 lets us know that we've been resurrected from the old life and we need to pursue the newness of life. Paul is progressing in his book, in this book of Ephesians here. And he goes on and talk about how that the church should be established on the fivefold ministry. He goes on and he talks about the conduct, okay? But then when he get to chapter 6, he begin to break off in spiritual warfare in verse 10. He said, finally, we've gotten to a place now you need to know the rest of the story. Okay? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schisms or the lies of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Wait a minute. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wicked in heavenly places. Okay? So I just want to encourage you to understand that we are in spiritual warfare. Okay? And what you have to understand about spiritual warfare is not a flesh and blood battle. It's not you and I. See, you're not my problem. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not my problem. Especially if you got a husband and a wife sitting beside each other. Look at them real good and say, you are not my problem. You're not my problem. Now, what the enemy wants us to think is this. Yes, they are your problem. We are not the problem to each other. See, and you say, well, I beg the difference. No. Let me tell you why. Because sometimes we are influenced by something other than the Holy Spirit. So it's not the flesh, it's the spirit that's the influence that caused the flesh to react or respond in a certain way. See, if you don't know, see, the Bible said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we can cast down, right? Because, see, what's going on is the enemy want to keep you in darkness. Now, can I give you another word for darkness? And this is a word that is not a nice word, but it's a true word. Okay? Ignorance. Paul said, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant concerning the devices of the enemy. Now, I know people say, well, he called us ignorant. I did not do that. I'm just giving you another word for darkness. The Bible said, if our gospel is hid, how many know the enemy, Satan, want to blind our minds so that we will be ignorant to the things of God? And one of the things that we are still kind of in darkness, see, why do we like the word darkness? Why can't I just say ignorant? Because people take it offensive. All what ignorance means is that it means that you don't understand. You don't have light. You hadn't been rightly informed. And whether we realize it or not, many a times, and I'm not saying this for any preachers disinform you, but what I'm saying is we don't understand the full provision, the provision of God. You say, well, Pastor John, why would you say that? because our action shows that we don't fully understand our provision and our place in God. We think God is always mad at us. We always say, I'm not worthy. I'm not fit for this. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the wisdom to do this. We have all these excuses, but we forget that God has made provision for everything that we will face in life. When you see believers trying to get wisdom from the world to operate the church, you don't understand the provision of God. When you exalt programs more than you do relationship, you don't understand the provision of God. When you talk about me time all the time, you don't understand the provision of God. And I know it's not popular to talk this way, but you know what? We got to understand, church, that yes, we don't work for anything. We don't try to achieve anything, but we got to believe for something. And when we say we believe for something, when we're believing, that word believe is just not a happenstance word. When you say you believe something, it is a verb tense of the word that will produce righteousness, that will produce actions. And this is what the enemy don't want the church to do. He don't mind us coming together having a good worship service. He don't mind us coming together shouting and having a good time. But what he don't want us to do is to be enlightened to who we are and the provision of God. He don't want us to know that. Because when we really know that and we have relationship and we experience it, how many know it's a done deal for what the devil come around and whisper in your ear? See, you got to understand something. I heard Mr. Fish said this. He said this early this morning, and he was just talking, but, you know, I'm listening. So he said, you know, God found me. How many times we say, you know, when I found the Lord, when I did this, but I got some good news for you. God wasn't never lost. We were. So God found us. Do you not know that from the foundation of the world, God was seeking us? Okay? Now, the warfare is this. He's warned against the knowledge that you have of God. Can I give you a big secret that a lot of us don't? Do you realize the devil don't know everything? He's not even a creative being. He can't create anything. But the thing about him is this: he's good at what he does. And he's consistent in what he does. You say, I don't know about that. How many times do he come back and tell you, you are not worthy? How many times do he come back and tell you you're not worthy? How many times? Who said every day? Every day. Do you understand that spiritual warfare going on? Trying to get her to do what? Accept the lie instead of the truth. Yes, he does. And I'm telling you, you're worthy. But before we can accept that we're worthy, we need to understand, how did I become worthy? Let me ask you a question. And we'll take it through sessions. I give you the opportunity to answer. We'll start on this side. What's the value of Mary Jane? This is the value. What would you give for her? You what? Why would you give your life for Mary Jane? Okay. All right. This section, Mr. Stephen is the object here. What would y'all give for him? Not you. Not you. Y'all together. Okay. Don't try to put. Okay. I knew you was going to go for it. But what would you give for him? All you got. So you would give your life for him. Okay. Okay. This is a big crowd here. So this front row right here is valued. What would you give to keep this value before you here? What would you give for Faye, Juniors, Keith, Naomi, and Jason? Give it all for them. What the? Y'all value, right? Okay. All right, Jason. Jenny. What's your name, sweetie?
Patricia.
What would y'all give for them? Where was that at? Somebody back there. Whatever God asks you to give, okay. Emily's over here. She's in that front row, right? Is that Emily? No. Who was that in the front row? I can't see. I guess it's going to have to be you, brother. Okay. This is brother. What's your name, brother?
Eric.
This is brother Eric. In this section over here, who would pay? What would y'all give for Eric's life? How would y'all value him? Sorry, brother. I'm sorry, Eric. Okay. We got Kelly. We got Mr. Ed and Miss Susan. What would y'all give for them? How would y'all value them? Holly? Y'all, Holly. Huh? You highly value it. Okay. You say, why would you ask these things? See, the sacrifice, when it values something, when it sees something that's worth it, it don't put limits on what it values. But it meet the demands in order to bring life to the situation. Okay? So what happened when you were in sin, let's go to Romans 5. Now, I gave that, we was talking about spiritual warfare, but we're looking at the provision of God, okay? We're going to spin off of that. Romans 5. Because I want you to understand something. See, when you understand what's going on, how many know that it's a lot easier to fight the good fight of faith? Remember, we're not fighting against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, the forces of this world, the rulers of darkness, and all these things, okay? Now, I'm just giving you some ammunition for the fight. What did I say? Romans 5? For while, Romans 5, verse 10. I had a bad habit of just giving you a chapter here. But anyway. For if while we were enemies, now listen to this. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or we glory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spreads to all men because all sin. Okay? Now let's back up to Romans 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. See, that's why I was going around getting you to see this. And see, my brother over here said he'd give her his life for her. He has to value her in order to do that. Now, whether he do that or not is a different story, right? So, in order to value them, you had to have what? Interest in them. To value somebody. To value Jason. To value people. And you say, where in the world are you going with this? The next time you think about you are unworthy, think about the price that was paid for you. Let me say that again, because you act like... The next time the enemy say you are not worthy, think about what was paid for you. The Bible said that greater love have no man than a man will lay down his life for his friend. God loved you so much, we read it all the time, you know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We say that. But do you not know that God loved you so much to where he departed with his son? He didn't spare anything. God values you. Do you not know the word of God says, we see the sparrow of the air and they fly in the air and God values them. He said, but God values you much more than the sparrows of the air. God gave his best because he valued you. You are not a worm that come out of a hole. You are a human being created in the likeness of God. And God loved us so much to where he valued us to say, I will give my best for John Mitchell. I will give my best for Martha. So when we say, God, I am not worthy, what you're saying is what you did for me wasn't good enough. Uh-oh. Uh-huh. You say, but I didn't say that for Mary Jane to say, I don't want you to die for me. I don't want you to do nothing for me. I mean, you know, that plays on the mind of the person that's offering his life for you. He might turn around and say, what's wrong with you, woman? What's wrong with you, church, when you say you are not worthy? God made you worthy. Now we put things otherwise we put stock in our behavior to qualify whether we are worthy or not. Let me say that again. We put value, other words, we begin to weigh this thing out by our behavior. But I still got good news for you. Let's look at Romans, the sixth verse, chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For we were still helpless. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Were you ungodly? "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare to even die." Verse 8. "But God," say, "but God," "demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were righteous, Christ died for us." Say amen. Watch yourself. Because you're saying amen. When you said amen, you said so be it. But I don't believe it said that. See how quickly we say amen to something that's not true. When you're the preacher, you said it. Hey, get the word. Search the scripture. Make sure what the man is saying is lining up with the Bible. Because how many know I can miss it, but I don't intend to. But I did it intentionally that time to see where you were at. But what does it say? "For God demonstrated his own love toward us." How did God demonstrate his love toward us? When he was in heaven. When he gave Jesus, Jesus is the demonstration of God's love for you. He demonstrated it for you. And when we go through stuff, guess what? Jesus understands when we go through stuff. He don't change his mind from what he said. When I go through stuff and messes and stuff, just disappointments, you know, sickness, disease, people dying, and people getting upset, people doing all these things. How many know that we're in this world, but we're not of it? And when you live in a world, things are going to happen. Jesus said in the word, "In the world you will have tribulation." But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Now, do you see how much God values you? But we based it on our behavior. Let me tell you something about behavior. Behavior will line up when you start believing right. God is not afraid of the behavior. He's wanting to get you to understand what he has accomplished for you. He wants you to understand his provision for you. Provision is not just a provision of how provision, but it's there for you. He's made provision for us. Do you see this? Now watch this. "For God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were," what? "Still sinners, Christ died for us." Do you not know that God realized if I don't give my life for them, my creation will be eternity loss. So God valued you to the place to where he was saying that I will give my life for my creation. Amen? Amen? Now, go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Well, let me finish this out. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we should be saved from" what? Did y'all follow me? Okay, thank you. Appreciate this. I don't have to have my glasses on to read this one. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we should be saved from" what? "Wrath." If we're being saved from wrath through him, guess what? He ain't mad at you. He ain't angry with you. Well, you know, God is up there and he's just waiting to put that thumb on my head to push me on down. That's a lie. That's a lie. Listen what he said here. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood. Do you know the word justified is to be declared righteous, to be declared innocent? By his blood, you've been declared righteous, innocent. Go back to the first verse, that therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. In other words, we are no more God's enemy. We have peace with him. In other words, we are in oneness with him. There is no more gap between me and God now. Why? Because we have peace with God. In other words, I'm not the enemy of God anymore. Do you see this? See, the provision of God is saying this: you are not my enemy. You are my creation. I love you. I gave my best for you. Don't hurt the Father's heart by saying words, I am so unworthy. I am so good for nothing. That's a lie the enemy is sowing in you. When you begin to receive that lie, you start acting out that lie. I don't need to point my finger, I'm sorry. But, okay, thank you. But do you understand? See, the warfare is this. He's trying to get you to take down from what God has said. But if you start telling him, no, God said, is that not what Jesus did? See, we can follow Jesus' pattern, see, because, see, Jesus understands when we go through. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus understands when you go through hurts, failures, misunderstandings, name calling. He understands. Now, somebody said, I don't know about that. The word of God says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities or our weakness, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. So if Jesus understand what he's saying is this, look what I did and follow my example. And you will see that you can do the same thing, because he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The works that I do shall you do, and greater works. Amen. Yes. See, the greater works is living the victorious life. John 10:10, he said, for the thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and it more abundantly. Well, that's getting the house, the car, the plane, to all these. No. The life that he's talking about is the Zoe life, the high life, the principle, the spirit life that gives you abundance. And abundance means it's the high life of Almighty God. Amen. When you go through, guess who go through with you? God himself. Now, when we start thinking on these lines, guess what the enemy is going to do? He's going to flee, but he's going to change his techniques. You say, well, when are we going to ever get rid of this joker? You know what? You're going to grow up and mature and realize he don't have the power that you think he has. See, the aim is to get us to mature enough to say, hey, I don't have to listen to his lies. I know what the Lord said. Thus saith the Lord. He said this. I didn't say it. God said it. Amen. When I go through, I can understand because God said, look, John, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. The overcomer is on the inside of you. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What's in the world? Lust of the flesh, pride of life, lust of the eye. All these things is of the world, but guess what? We're not of the world. Yes, ma'am. Getting a little excited. But do you see the warfare that's going on? It's about words. And Proverbs teaches us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Do you not know many a times we're not snared by what the devil does? We are snared by our own words. We're taken captive by our own words. When I get up in the morning, I say, well, God ain't for me today. Guess what? I open the door for Satan to come in with all his little old demons and make me feel like God is so distant. But God is right there waiting on me to pick that word up and begin to declare what God said about me. See, that's what the word of God, when he says that we need to confess the good fight of faith. We need to profess the word of God. Confess. In other words, say the same thing that God is saying about you. That's why it's so important that we know what the scriptures are saying. Why? Because then we can speak the word of God. Well, you know, my grandma told me that it wouldn't work. So, you know, she was a little older. See, grandma didn't have the knowledge you have today. And you can't put grandma above the word. Do you not know that the condition of the church is because we have left the word of God? The Bible said, my people, notice what he said here now. He didn't say sinners. He said, my people. Are destroyed. The thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Watch this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Therefore, I give them knowledge, and they reject knowledge, they reject me. Because in the beginning, St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we begin to speak the Word of God, guess what we're saying? What God says. And when God said something, he said that his Word will not return void. Are you listening to me? So what we have to understand when we build on the provision of God and we realize that God loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. I'm telling you, it's one thing that if God never give me another revelation, it's one thing I know that God has revealed to me is that he loved me in spite of. Yes, he's not loving me based on my performance. He's loving me based on what he did for me and who I am to him. See, we think we have to, well, God, I do this. See, God ain't wanting you to bribe him. He's wanting you to come from your heart and say, Father, I love you. I love you, Father. I appreciate you, Father. See, when this is my son right here. And y'all can look at him and tell, yep, that's your son, right? There ain't nothing. He can go out here, and I hope he don't. You might better close his ears so he don't hear it. No. But anyway, if he go out here, rob a bank, and they give him life in prison, do you not know I'm still going to love him? I'm going to grieve for him. I'm going to hurt for him. I'm going to cry for him. You know why? Because he don't have his freedom. He's locked up. Hear what I'm saying, church. Redemption is about buying you back and freeing you up so you can enjoy your freedom with God. The provision of God is that he want to free us up so that we can just love on him and enjoy the Zoe, the life of God. See, things is not gonna, it's not gonna make you fulfilled. If that was the case, why do we see people killing themselves? Why do we see people doing crazy things? And some of these people got more money than they could ever spend. Got things running out of their closet and all kind of stuff going on, but no peace. And God is saying, I've given you peace. We are not at enemies anymore. I'm not mad at you. I'm not holding a grudge against you. You are the apple of my eye. I love you, and I want to supply your needs according to my riches and glory. I want to protect you. I want to guard you. But you say, but God, if you are guarding me, why do these things happen to me? How many know we live in a fallen world? And things are going to happen, people. But it don't change God. Don't blame God for trying to teach you something because some tragedy happened. Things are going to happen. And you got to understand, you got to do your part. Some things we do to ourselves because we out of obedience, disobedience to God. We quit following him and start thinking we're smart enough to do it ourselves. And God said, okay, have at it. And then when you have at it, you begin to see, God, oh, Lord. And you know what he did? He come right to our rescue. Now, had you listened, you wouldn't have to go through this. See? Is this making sense to you?
Yes.
See? Now, did I tell you to go to 2 Corinthians? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. And this is my downhill slide, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Y'all got it? Oh, they don't have it up there either. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Okay. Y'all got it?
Yeah.
Wait for me, I don't. Okay. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, I'll become new. Now, all these things are from who? Who made you a new creation? See, you are a new species. A new being in God. I don't care how bad your genealogy might look. Your genogram, all these things that we face, you know. And I know some of us are ashamed of where we came from, but you know. I didn't have anything to do with it. But when I came to Christ, he redeemed me. And I can break loose from the generational curse because of the truth of God's word. But it's not going to happen overnight. I must stay with the process of being renewed. You said, do I have to work for it? No, you don't have to work for it, but you got to come into the knowledge of what it means to be new in him. How many tired of the up and down like a roller coaster? Up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next. You need to stay with the process. See, we say these things, but it takes time, but you have to stay with it every day. Give us our daily. Give us our daily bread. See, every day. It's not that I'm trying to get more of God, but I'm trying to allow him to get more of me. Now watch this, this word here, and we're going to move on from it. The word which describes the bridge between God and man in the New Testament, reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? It means that I've been brought back to God. It's just like, I can use Sister Martha, you know, just like if me and Sister Martha fell out. Me and Sister Martha fell out. Now watch this. This is no joke, okay? We fall out, we go our separate ways. We praising God, having worship service. I'm the one that caused her to be upset and be offended. So we in here praising God. Charlie got the music going beautifully. We just worshiping God. And I come to the altar. And I remember I've offended Martha. But I'll just keep shouting, rebuke the devil, and he'll leave you alone. No. The Bible says, lay your gift at the altar and go be reconciled to Martha. Other words, what God did was he took Jesus and he bridged the gap that was between me and Jesus, the offense of sin that was against him. He came and took my place, and now I'm being reconciled to God. But see, me and Martha are not at peace anymore, but when I go to her and I say, Martha, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. I was wrong for offending you. Now, Martha don't need to say, it's okay. No, we need to make it right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I offended you. Will you forgive me?
I forgive you and I restore you to the place as if you've never done anything wrong.
See, now that's true reconciliation. And God has did the same thing for every one of us. That's his provision. But let me tell you something. God took the initiative to do it. People say, well, look what I did. That. No, you didn't do a thing. God initiated, just like I went and initiated the reconciliation between me and Martha. God initiated. He came to where you are, lived a life just like you, took your sin upon him, and said, nail it to the cross. He initiated it. He came to you and said, look, I value you. See, I value her. And I don't want to do anything to offend her. Why? Because I value her. Not what she can give me, but because of who we are in God. Do you realize what would happen to the church if we quit looking at each other and saying, well, what can I get out of Jason? What can I get out of Faith? What can they give me? What can I get out of them? No, just value them for who they are. You say, well, who are they? They're God's creation. They're God's creation. And none of us are lacking value when it comes to God. You know why? Because what he can do, I can't do. And that's why God values every one of us. You know why? It's going to take every one of us to do and accomplish what God wants to do in this earth. Don't ever feel like I don't have anything to offer. Because God has put something in every one of us. It might not be preaching, it might not be teaching, it might be an intercessor. And how many know we need people to intercede? It might be a missionary. We need people to go spread the gospel. But when we devalue ourselves, we don't live to that full potential who God created us to be. You know why? Because we belittle ourselves to think, I'm not enough to do it. I'm not enough to accomplish what God wants to do in my life. Quit believing the lie of the devil and accept the provision of God. God has the provision for you to be who he called you to be. I don't care where you've been in life. I don't care how many times you messed up. God is saying, if you will submit to me and come to me and let me do a work in you and quit going back and forth, up and down, and give the process place. See, it's a process. I look at Sister Martha sometime and I say, my Lord Jesus. You know, I've been knowing you for how long? About 18 years, maybe?
Probably longer than that.
And the first time I met her, you know, it was just like, how many know, spirit to spirit. We connected. Didn't know her from Adam's apple.
It was in intercessory
prayer. And we connected. And I've seen, I mean, there's other people in this congregation that I knew, you know, when I first came here, that I seen growth take place. But it didn't happen overnight, right? It didn't happen overnight. It started at night, but it didn't happen overnight. So look at your neighbor and say, you are not my enemy. You are not my enemy. You are my sister. I'm talking to you, Lisa. Okay. See, God, he initiated this relationship. And you didn't have anything to do with it. So take the pressure off of yourself thinking I got to perform a certain way to get God to really love me. God loves you more than you will ever imagine. All he's wanting you to do is spend some time with him, become intimate with him. But, you know, this old system, this world is wanting us to perform, 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 perform. I'm not performing for it anymore. I'm going to be who God created me to be. I'm going to enjoy John. You say, what? Yes. Love your neighbor. See, but we've been told you got to hate yourself. Jesus did say, deny yourself. There is a difference. And what he was really saying there, this soulish realm, you got to deny that. But who I created you, John, love John. But you know something? Like I told him Wednesday night, we will go out of the way to love our neighbor. We'll tell them how good they are. Sometimes we don't mean it, but we tell them. Just being truthful. But when it come to us, we start this, you're no good thing. Just stupid. Just stupid. You're not stupid. You might not understand everything, but it don't make you stupid. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, you are not the enemy. And do you not know, in closing, that because God initiated this, he has called us friends. You are the friend of Jehovah God. the God that created the stars, the moon, the God that took dust up and made man, breathed in his life and he became a living being. That same God that did that, the same God is your friend. But let's go a little bit deeper than that. He didn't only call you friends, he called you sons and daughters. To as many as received him, to them give him the right and the power to be the daughters and sons of God. Your identity is in him. You find significance in him. We try to find it in all these other things and we get let down, but it's in him we live, move, and have our being. Amen? God bless you. Started out a little rough, but we got there. Okay, we got there. Remember, God's provision. And you'll probably hear me say some more on this because I want to get it in me. You know, you got to get it. See, it takes, look at your neighbor and say, it takes time to get this life worked in you so it can come out of you. See, and don't be so hard on yourself. Study the Word of God. Have intimacy with God. Pray to Him. Talk to Him. He's wanting to hear you. He can't wait for you to get to Him. He's not away from you anyway. He just wants you to start talking to Him. And sometimes He just wants you to just sit and listen. You just go to hearing him say stuff and you be, people wonder, what's she talking about? Something churning down on the inside. Yes, sir. Amen? Yes. We appreciate your patience and your time this morning. I trust that I said something to help you along the way. Amen? But before we dismiss, is there anyone here that do not know Jesus? Do not know Jesus. See, he's not looking for you to find him. He's not lost. He's seeking you out. He want to save you. He want to raise you up, and he want to show you his provision. The life that I have for you is greater than the life you live in sin. Amen? If there's not one, let's just pray. I want to pray for the believers today. And I really want you to understand. Go back and read those scriptures and just meditate on them. I didn't do justice or what I had in my notes, but I feel like I did what God wanted me to do here, you know. But there are five things I want you to remember. And I call these the five auras. Auras. Okay? Repentance, or repent. Reconciled. Redeem. And restoration. And rest. See, when you start... These are nothing to do with your behavior. It's to do with what God did for you. And when you start resting in what God did for you, watch your behavior start to change. Yes. I got to quit. My wife said, yes, I do. Amen. It's been good today. Father, we thank you for your people today, Lord. And God, these are your people. And Lord, we trust that what we said today, God, that they could grow with it, benefit from it. Lord, if I said something that wasn't edifying, forgive me. But Lord, I pray that your word would take root and cause them to begin to develop on the inside like Christ himself. So Father, we pray today as we depart from this place, never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Say, I am a child of God. And he loves me. God bless you. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.